Okay, thank you. We want to thank Will McBeth, first of all, for bringing all the food. He was here an hour early, tasting it first, but he found that it was okay, and so he left with leftover for all of us. And thank you for doing that. And Bob Gottschalk, thank you for taping this so the people who are still in bed can hear the talk this morning. And welcome all of you, and welcome back for our first Philly Fellowship, 2023. I hope you had a restful and holy summer, ready to walk another year with the Lord Jesus as we continue our reflections on the spiritual treasures of our time, that sure norm of faith, the Catechism of the Catholic Church. In addition, references will be made this year to the United States Catholic Catechism for Adults, Sacred Scripture, Writings of the Saints, Papal Documents, and other sources from our wonderfully rich spiritual tradition. Entitled, that is this series of eight talks, Christian Prayer, much emphasis will be given to this last section of the Catechism. It is only 75 pages, and it is thus the shortest of all four parts of the Catechism. In many ways, it's the most important part of the Catechism, precisely because it treats prayer. Thus, the title for our eight-part series this year is Prayer, the Perennial Challenge of listening and speaking to God. So often we focus more on the speaking part, but we need to cultivate more of a listening attitude in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that is really, that's real prayer. St. John Paul II taught us that prayer is the breath of the Holy Spirit. Archbishop Fulton Sheen, that wonderful teacher of the faith, whom I often quote, used to say that his hour daily before the Blessed Sacrament in prayer was like an oxygen tank that revived the breath of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that classic Bishop Sheen? Like an oxygen tank that revived the breath of the Holy Spirit. This first of eight meditations for the year is entitled The Samaritan Woman, a Receipt of God's Gift. My prayer is that our time together this year in this lower level of the Little Flower Rectory, not the upper room, but the lower room, will be a prayerfully rich journey for each one of us. It's my prayer that all of us will deepen our love for prayer. We are challenged by St. Paul, after all, to pray constantly, and yet so many things get in the way between us and the voice of God, our God who so desires to spend time with us, to speak to us, to listen to us. Prayer is so important, indeed essential to our spiritual lives. Cardinal Peter Turkson of Ghana was quoted in an article saying, "I think the basis of any Christian spiritual growth is prayer and the Word of God. When these two things are not there, we are not connected to Jesus, and without him, we can do nothing." Hopefully the tone of this year's meditations will help feed our prayer lives and connect us more deeply to Jesus and to each other. That's my deepest intention. This is, moreover, not just an academic exercise. It's meant to help each of us together grow in prayer, grow in our love and relationship with our God. Our subject matter this year includes an expanded commentary on the Lord's Prayer, referred to by Tertullian, that early church father, as the summary of the whole gospel. I always refer to it as the most perfect prayer because it was given to us by Jesus. He invented the Our Father, the Pater Noster, the summary of the whole gospel. Pope Francis has also reflected on the Lord's Prayer, and we will reference to it his contribution. This year is also the year when we will reflect more deeply on Mary's Prayer, the Holy Rosary. It is an expanded treasure on the very nature of prayer itself, emphasis on the universal call of all creation to pray in the Old Testament, the prayer of Jesus, who is the master of prayer, the varieties of prayer, the liturgical tradition of prayer, prayer in the Trinity, and various teachers of prayer. Another focus deals with the vocal, meditative, and contemplative prayer, the difficulties of praying, the efficacy of praying, and the great final prayer of Jesus, his farewell prayer at the Last Supper in that most famous upper room of all of history. As you reflect on this section on prayer in the Catechism this year, there are four sections of the Catechism. This is the shortest. I would suggest that you refer often to the numerous cross-references in the margins of the text, italicized numbers referring to other paragraphs of the Catechism that deal with the same subject. In this way, you will truly appreciate the organic presentation of the faith and precisely in its relationship to our lives of prayer. Now, a few words about where we are in our respective journeys of prayer. Undoubtedly, each one of us seeks and desires to grow in prayer, to find an out-of-the-way place where we regularly meet Jesus. But oh, the challenges that face each one of us without exception. They are not foreign to me either. Yes, on a personal level, my first struggle as a priest takes place as soon as I awake each morning. Do I turn on the computer to see what messages I have received overnight, or do I open my breviary and dedicate that time to God in the early hours of the morning, fresh and good time? This morning I did do the breviary, so I was being very consistent. Do I pray at the break of dawn, that beautiful line from Psalm 55, O God, listen to my prayer. Do not hide from my pleading. Attend to me and reply. Or are the headlines of the paper seemingly more important? It is at this very moment that I must make a choice. We're pro-choice in certain areas, that's for sure. How I resolve that choice surely affects the rest of my day. I know you have related challenges in your life. Assuredly, each of you seeks to follow and find the Lord and make him central to your lives, starting at the beginning of the day as well. Christian life of necessity can be defined as one of outward activity and a corresponding need for inner retreat, a time and place to wrestle with our own hearts before God. Without this inner retreat, the Christian life runs the risk of being simply a facade or running on empty. Too much unreflected activity also leads to burnout, a lack of needed spiritual nourishment, directionless, helpless, and very vulnerable to the seductions and attacks of the evil one who is alive and well. It's always difficult to find quiet time for God in prayer. But oh, how rewarding it is once it becomes a part of our daily routine. It has changed my life as a priest. I pray at my desk before the rectory opens up. We have a chapel right across the hall. Father Lichtig was in the chapel as I left this morning. So there are quiet places, even in your house, I'm sure you can find, or places you can make quiet. After much struggle and experimentation, I have finally settled on time early in the morning before the phones, the challenges of the computer, and the instant information it presents to us, the door, the normal demands of a perennial active day, and I'm sure you have the same situation in your lives. I challenge you as I continue to do the same to find the best time in your day for prayer. It might take some experimentation, but once you have figured it out, your life will never be the same. I can attest to that. We know from the gospel accounts that even Jesus was challenged to find a quiet place of prayer. He routinely went off to the desert to pray. Before every major decision, if you analyze scripture, before every major decision, like calling the 12, for example, which was his core group, the night before he was in the desert praying. His life, he was there to commune with his Father before every major decision he made. He's giving us an example. It was for sure a struggle to find this space and time. Jesus' own struggle in this area should encourage each one of us, his followers, who have the same challenge. Already at the beginning of this first meditation on prayer, I invite you to look and listen to Jesus. He tells us so much about prayer. Perhaps in a section of scripture where you would never consider. I speak of John chapter 4, the Samaritan woman at the well. In that well-known passage, Jesus is on a journey passing through Samaria. He's on his way to Jerusalem. He was tired from the journey, and he sat by a well called Jacob's Well. It was like an oasis in the desert. So often each of us is tired from the deadlines of life, from the pressures of work, and each of us looks for an oasis in our own lives, somewhere to get away, to be refreshed, a quiet place. Certainly that was Jesus' intent. But what happens? Almost immediately, Jesus has an encounter with a woman. Not just any woman, but a Samaritan woman. And Jesus speaks first. He initiates the conversation. He asks her for a drink, even though she was coming to the well for water herself. Jesus says, "Give me a drink." The Samaritan woman shows surprise. "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink?" She expected to be ignored as a woman. Furthermore, as a Samaritan woman, she could not believe that a Jew would talk to her. That never happened. But from Jesus, she received understanding and respect. Importantly, Jesus then said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." For St. John, the gift of God is the Holy Spirit. Jesus was saying that if she knew that he could give her the Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit would be gushing in her like a fountain of water. And that is his gift to her and to each one of us. The Catechism teaches that every time we begin to pray to Jesus, it is the Holy Spirit who draws us on the way of prayer. The Holy Spirit, whose anointing permeates our whole being, is the interior master of Christian prayer. The Holy Spirit, the interior master of Christian prayer. He's the artisan of the living tradition of prayer. In this sense, prayer is the gift of God's Holy Spirit. Pointing to the well, Jesus says, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Saint Hippolytus, from a sermon on the Epiphany, describes this water as the water of the Spirit. It is the water of Christ's baptism. It is our life. Yes, by baptism, we become temples of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is like a fountain of water welling up within each and every one of us. The woman then said to Jesus, "Sir, give me this water, so that I may not be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." How does this particular scripture passage, this referencing encounter between Jesus and the Samaritan woman, deepen our understanding, if it does, of prayer itself? The Catechism gives us a clear answer. If you knew the gift of God, the wonder of prayer is revealed beside the well where we come seeking water. There Christ comes to meet every human being. It is he who first seeks us and asks us for a drink. Jesus thirsts. His asking arises from the depths of God's desire for us, whether we realize it or not. Prayer is the encounter of God's thirst with ours. God's thirst that we may thirst for him. Catechism 2560. Catechism is filled, that last section of the Catechism is filled with a lot of good stuff on prayer. It's the shortest version, but it's one that could be kind of at your bedside through the year. Yes, prayer is God's gift to us. It is the power of his Holy Spirit gushing like a fountain within us, and he is always taking the initiative. From one of the weekday preferences at Mass, we pray, "Father, you have no need of our prayer, yet our desire to thank you is itself your gift." You hear that during the Mass. In effect, our desire to pray And you wouldn't be here today in such great numbers if you didn't have that desire. Is his gift. Prayer is God's gift to each of us. It is his way of coming in touch with us and changing us and walking with us and being with us and loving us and showing us the way. So often we view prayer as our own initiative, as we do with so many things in life, huh? We need to master one of those 1,000 how-to books on prayer before we can even begin. This erroneous belief may even impede us from prayer. Prayer often intimidates us. We view it as complicated and confusing, difficult, perplexing, even mysterious. What the Catechism teaches from the very beginning is quite the opposite. At its basis, prayer is God's initiative in our lives. He comes to us. He comes to everyone as he came to the least likely person, a Samaritan woman. We are no different. That should give us relief as we seek to pray in our lives. That should give us a renewed sense of confidence in prayer. Hopefully that thought is reassuring. When we begin to pray, always remember Jesus, tired from the journey, taking the initiative at the well with a foreign woman, a Samaritan woman. God thirsts that we may thirst for him. That is prayer. In effect, each of us, without exception, thirsts for God. For a God who is beyond us and yet near to us. In the very thirst, that desire for an oasis, to have our thirst quenched in our life's journeys, often tired from its challenges, its uncertainties, we find him. Better stated, he finds us, and that is prayer. It's our deepest longing. There is a surge towards heaven from our hearts. That's God's action, the action of his Holy Spirit within us. When we yield to God's action within us, it is then that we pray. Pray is the yielding to the movement of the Holy Spirit in each and every one of us, and that is prayer. It is God's most generous and wonderful gift to us, the gift of prayer. Amen.
Amen.
You can turn this off. Thank you for listening, folks at home. Okay, so does everyone have this as a sheet?